Good morning, everyone. I want to pick up on a theme from earlier shiurim this week for those who are present, but adding and elaborating. We were talking about the Avodah Zarah of Pa'ar, which Klal Yisrael struggle with at the end of Parshas Balak. It forms the basis for Parshas Pinchas, which follows the aftermath story. So we're focused this Tkufa of the year on Maisa Pa'ar, Nikoyim Nikmas Yisrael for the Maisa Pa'ar. And the question is, how do we relate to the Avodah Zarah of Pa'ar? Very, very strange, even worse than strange, grotesque ritual of defecation in the most hideous way, as the Gemara discusses. And I think any mature Ben Torah understands there's a meaning here. Everything in Torah has a meaning. Even the threats are meaningful. The ancients weren't some crazy Mishigayim, just because modern man doesn't have a knowledge of the metaphysics. The metaphysics Lara, which was behind Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah was based on an entirely sophisticated metaphysical view of the world. Lara, obviously, with a jaundiced perspective. The mistake of the Avodah Zarah, many understand, was in that they ascribed autonomous kaichas to the kaichas hatayv and kaichas hara in the world. But that these kaichas exist and there's a science to them and understanding of them, right? That's a true concept, and we've spoken about this in terms of the Chadashim and how the Chadashim, which are named after different Avodah Zarahs, well, the Avodah Zarah is an inverse face, is an adulteration of the kaich of the mouth. Remember, we discussed this in terms of this Chaydash Tammuz, and how the Avodah Zarah of Tammuz, the fire god discussed in Yechezkel, the Rishayim say, says a lot about what the Midah of Tammuz is. So what could possibly be the innate meaningful Midah, Lara albeit, of Pa'ar? Again, I think many of us have seen things in the Vertloch books, but we're looking for something a little more substantive, hopefully a lot more substantive. There's an eye-opening piece of Ruach Chaim, Perek Gimel Mishnah Gimel, where Reb Chaim Volozhiner talks a lot about the whole inyan of Yavoda Vachila, Esek and Inyani Gashmias. And the reason why he segues to the Maisa of Pa'ar is because that Mishnah, that famous Mishnah, speaks about Shleisha Sha'achu. Shleisha Sha'achu v'yesh b'nein divrei Torah versus Shleisha Sha'achu v'ein b'nein divrei Torah. And Shleisha Sha'achu v'ein b'nein divrei Torah, to sit around the table, to congregate around the table, to eat but devoid of divrei Torah, the Mishnah calls that Zivchei Mesim. Where does the expression Zivchei Mesim come from? Zivchei Mesim, right? Slaughterings of the dead, idolatrous slaughterings of the dead. Where does that term appear? That term appears in Tehillim, Kapitel Chavav, I believe it's Pasuk Chavches, where it speaks about Klal Yisrael worshiping Baal Pa'ar, right? By Yitzvedu Baal Pa'ar, by Yaychu Zivchei Mesim, right? So clearly, the Mishnah is hearkening to the Maisa of Pa'ar when it speaks about eating without Kedushas Achila, and this is Reb Chaim Volozhiner's basic explanation. He opines here and throughout his farm that the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra was not introducing Tov and Ra into the world. After all, the very fact that man was vulnerable to Pitei HaNachash, susceptible to the serpent, means that Ra existed, at least the potential, right? Explains to Chaim Volozhiner, pre-Chedei Tadas, Tov and Ra were distinct and separate. Ra existed in this chitzoniistic external realm, what's called Klipa as opposed to Pre. Ramchal really touches on this too, that at that time, it was clear to man that Ra is something delusional, outside of us, albeit it is a very luring delusion, but there was clarity, it's a delusion. It's outside of us, it's outside of our consciousness. What the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra did was, it brought Ra into us and into all human behavior. That now Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, means There is a tyrubus of type and ra in everything in the world. There is nothing in life anymore which is absolutely good or absolutely evil. No one's doing a mitzvah absolutely lishma with no shalai lishma mixed in. And no one is doing an aveira, certainly yidden, where there's absolute ra without some redemptive quality mixed in such a tyrubus. And this is a very powerful idea. Nothing is binary. And anyone who has a black and white perspective about life, someone's all good, someone's all bad, something's all good, something's all bad, right, is simplistic. It's not the world we live in. Everything is complicated. There's always two perspectives about things. For some reason, I always think about this in the human condition. I find the same person and the same behavior strikes people differently. I will hear how some people hold the person in very high regard and some people never have a very different perspective about that. There is not a contradiction, and there's not correct interpretation or misinterpretation. In the complexity of the human condition, even great people, right? There's a complexity of type and ra, right? With yidden, and ahas, kama, oyv, Hashem, hopefully the core, the innate type, is dominant. But, you know, there will always be different forces present. And certain people, based on their sensitivities, will be thrown the wrong way based on any person, including a great person's struggle. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, this played out in Achila. In the pure, pristine world of Gan Eden, where there was physical Achila, absolute physical Achila, albeit in that higher state of consciousness, the experience was totally nutritious, totally tight. Both in terms of how the physical nutrients serve as nutrition for the guf, and in terms of the kayak ruchni in the food, served as nutrition for the nesham. Wow. Right? And this is what Kal Yisrael experienced in the Midbar, when they were Eichle Haman, because in that world, there was no waste product. There was no waste product in the food, like from time to time. It was absolutely pure. The existence of waste product is because now there's ra mixed in to everything. Everything has ra mixed in, including food. And when we need to relieve ourselves, what that symbolizes is, both in achila and in life in general, we need the healing of ridding ourselves from the tainted aspect of anything. I'm going to stress not only true about food. You have a human encounter, and there's something that stares you, something toxic. There's a need to relieve yourself from some sort of toxicity in the experience, right? Heal yourself, deal with it. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says something neither of the other. He says, this is the deeper meaning of the halacha of not learning divrei Torah in a beis hakisa, or mavoz metunas, right? The Mekubalim have spilled a lot of ink on this question, right? How do we understand a bathroom? It's not a place to learn. Of course, there's elukus in everything. Everything is an expression of the innate divine. Whatever one's approach is to understanding the interface between the godly source and the physical world, since in Kipshuta, since in Shalai Kipshuta, but everything is ultimately an expression of elukus, including Tzaya, Neraglayim, and so forth. So what is this aversion to learning to Dvarim Shevakdusha there in Halacha? Right? Hard to believe that it's simply a covet issue, because we human beings suffer with a complex, with a hygiene complex, if we could call it that, right? So it's not covet to learn there, even though it's an inherently godly place, right? Torah doesn't work that way. In Torah, everything has an etzem, everything has an essence to it, and if this is inherently not a place to learn, it means it's a place adverse to Kedusha. Explains the prime listener, yeah. That is because the tzayit is an expression of cheta, the etzadas tayvira. Right, the waste product introduced the ra is the physical expression of the ra that was introduced into the human experience. And yes, to learn in such a place is to be engaging in those kaichas hara, which are adverse and fighting against Kedusha. Explains Reb Chaim Volozhiner that in the Midbar, when Kal Yisrael ate man and there was no waste product, there was some sort of return to a pristine state. And the way we've explained this in the past, the Midbar was not full Gan Eden, right? The Midbar was not full Gan Eden yet. Albeit there was no Zeh Sapacha Teicha Lechem, right? They weren't working for Parnasa, which is, I believe, some of the basis of this idea of the Man. But full Gan Eden there was not, because they weren't living physically. Gan Eden was the place of Tainag Gashmi, where the Tainag Gashmi was sacred, right? In the end game, the Gan Eden is really Eretz Yisrael. The Pesukim and Yeshaya explicitly call Eretz Yisrael Midbara Ke'Eden, right? But that's the final idea. Eretz Yisrael is a place of Gan Eden where the Gashmius can be experienced in the physical world. How an Eretz Avos Chol U'Dvash can be consummately holy, right? First, we had to detox the Midbar, detox from a tainted Gashmiustic world of post-Chedei Chadas, and we're experiencing the Ruchni Yishabai without the Gashmius challenge, and not only entered Eretz Yisrael, if not for some of the interim Chatam in the Midbar, we would have entered a very, very pristine spot. And the way we explained them in the Shir a few days ago, this is why. When Klal Yisrael is about to enter the land, and 40 years later they complain about the man, and they call it Lechem HaKlokel, and Rashi says they suffer from a complex that actually even the man is going to produce waste product, they are struck specifically by what? Snakes, Nechashim, with clear echoes of the Nachash HaKamayim, and we developed at length how this is because they are adulterating even the man, they are returning to Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. Ayin Shum, that was a shear within its own right.
This
in an earlier event in Parshas Chukas, correct? And there was a whole development therein. And we spoke about how the transition between the Mon and the Achil in Eretz Yisrael, what's called Lechem Ha'aretz in the Pasuk, versus the Lechem in the Shemayim of Mon. And we saw very powerfully, right after Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, literally days after in Sefer Yeshua, they were makir of the Karban Omer, the new tzvah. The Karban Omer is the exact same shir as the Mon, Asiras HaEifa. It was very evocative of the Mon. What they Tilno had as Lechem Abirim, Lechem Shemalchem, Shemashar, Sarkim, by the Mon, they're now having in terms of the Lechem Gashmius, this transition should have happened, could have happened. It happens to a degree with whatever sacred, sanctified living we have in Eretz Yisrael, albeit not without its full tikkun. And we touched on that the Maisa of Pa'ar, which occurs specifically at the doorstep to Eretz Yisrael, at the doorstep to this place of transition, right, now becomes very powerful, according to your Chaim Voloshin's understanding. That if Klal Yisrael would have been pure from Pa'ar, if they would have been Miskaber over Pa'ar, presumably there would have been some sort of tikkun. Some sort of tikkun in terms of searing Achila and Dvaram Gashmi and Lara. Right? That's why they had a Nisayin here. That's why it's the final Nisayin of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Moshe Rabbeinu's mission is to bring the entire Israel. He's very mobile. Pa'ar, opposite Pa'ar, Lachaper. Going to come against Midian to avenge for this deed is the final deed of his life, and other corollaries we study, that is because entering Eretz Yisrael is about triumphing over Pa'ar and everything Pa'ar represents. And I'm going to further suggest that the fact that the messengers were Mayavim, Benais Mayav, Benais Midian, interesting collaboration here, there's both a Mayav aspect of the state and a Midian aspect of the Chet, but focusing on the Mayav aspect of the Chet, right? In the Pshuta Shel Mikra, the Pasuk, there is a complexity here on the Farsha regarding the different Umas and what their gods were. Sam has an Aracha about this, but he's discussed with me in the past. But in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, ignoring problems, textual problems, the lesson of the Pasuk is, Klal Yisrael Rizano Achari B'nais Mayav Vayoychu Mizivche Elei Hayt, implying that Pa'ar became the god of the Mayavim on some level. And what that would mean is the nation of Mayav is integrally connected to this whole concept of adulterating Gashmius. The fact that in Yai Taiva can be steered in either direction. Our Avaida is Shleisha Sha'achu V'yesh B'nei Tivri Torah. We're trying to steer it in one direction to find sanctity in the eating process. Right, the alternative, which Pa'ar represents an extreme of, is glorifying the tzaya, glorifying the ra that's now in an eating process. Right, just as many of the other avodas are engaged in various satanic worships in an effort to glorify evil in the world and embrace evil, Pa'ar is specifically glorifying the evil which is now inherent in Taiva, to take enjoyment and make it lustful. And they're not the same thing. Enjoyment and lust are not the same thing. Even the English word comes with different associations. It's the satanic adulteration of healthy enjoyment when it becomes something unsavory. And that's why it's a very powerful kayach in the world. It's a kayach in the world. There's a kayach ha-tayv of tainig, there's a kayach ha-ra'a tainig. It's that every avodah zarah has its underlying midah in the bria. Pa'ar is touching on the idea of pleasure in the world and the steering of it l'ra, the ra that's now inherent in pleasure, and the samatana, the sanitizing, if I could call it that, of pleasure, right? Glorifying the tzaya. Instead of relieving ourselves from it, glorifying it in the most hideous way. And why does this connect to the nation of Mayav? The nation of Mayav is a nation of taiva. We generally think of their taiva in terms of taivas nus, from the very inception of the Ummah. Patriarch of the nation Mayav was born from Benos Lot with their father, that incestuous relationship that called Mayav literally Mayav. And there's no question that the Benos Mayav's luring of Klal Yisrael is connected and related to their patriarchal midah. If you think about it even a little bit, you'll understand. Not only is there Znus at their inception and Znus in the story, but a parallel Znus of specifically a woman luring a man. Right? I'm breaking that code of Derech Ish Leiluch HaCharisha male initiation, a nice light vis-a-vis Lot, when they totally, so to speak, wrap him around their finger, intoxicate him, and play on him. And the Menais Maya vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, right? It's a hideous taiva, right? A taiva which specifically comes into feminine initiation. We discussed in the past, the Mekubalim's understanding that in Yanei Gashmi Yisrael, the Iker Mitzad Isha, right? Man is what's called Chaymer, Isha is what's called Tzura. Women are more in touch with physicality, emotion, the concrete world, the practical world, the realm of Taiva, in Kamal Kam Laharach Bazaar. And the women's initiation of Znus in the seminal, very literally, the seminal act of Benos Mayav, and then here vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, it's not simply Znus, it's more broadly Taiva, and hence the toxic blend of Maisa Pa'ar and Znus together, right? And everything connoted therein. The Znus, the glorification of Tzai and the Rav Achila, Pa'ar also is the same Isis and etymological root of Para, nakedness, all of those Chet, Eitz Hadas echoes, which are now becoming apparent as we're building off for Klein de Lajner. I want to bring this out further, the Mayav adulteration of Taiva connection. Perhaps nowhere this is spelled out the clearest in Shoftim and Perek Gimel. Shoftim and Perek Gimel is the story where the Shoftim Ehud fights against Eglon Melech Mayav, the king of Mayav, who's Eglon. Now, Eglon Melech Mayav, not only is he a Moabite king, but Chazal are expressly tracing linkages between him and Balak. When the Gemara says Eglon Melech Mayav is Ben Benoit Shabbat. Right? Chazal are more than drawing a genealogical correlation. They're obviously inviting a conceptual study. Right? Well, who was Eglon Melech Mayav? And I saw some of the Oilim familiar with the Maisa smiled. Eglon Melech Mayav carries an epithet. We consider it today an epithet. A word which we're not supposed to say today. But they had no such hesitation. The Navi calls him obese. Fat. He was very large, Eglon Melech Mayav. And what happened in the story there is, Ehud actually played on this physical condition, right? When Ehud snuck the sword in, and Ehud stuck it all the way through, you'll excuse me, the very large stomach of Eglon Melech Mayav. It's a grotesque scene. It describes how the tzaya, apparently he was near that point of ready to excrete, the tzaya, the Navi says, actually exploded from his intestines, his body. The Navi continues to explain that, however, his guards didn't really know what was going on, which actually gave Ehud time to escape, because they thought what? He was in what's called the cool room, the Makara, the cool room, which was a room of pleasure. They thought he is relieving himself there. It seems like Eglon Melech Mayav made a whole pleasurable maisa. He didn't go to an outhouse and chick-chock. It seems like he was prone to do this, to hang out, right? To hang out in a pleasurable room in the palace complex and relieve himself. And that gave, that gave Ayyub time to escape, right? Some of the mafarshim, it's a little gross, but some of the mafarshim say that because Sa'i exploded from his body, that's actually what the guards smelled, and therefore suspected that he was consciously releasing himself. That is what some of the mafarshim to the Navi say. But however you slice it, right? What is the Navi trying to do to me in terms of such a, how should I put it? Such a depicting, such a graphic scene. It's doing something to me. Well, is it not written to life that Ma'iv is a nation of obscenity of type beyond the normal Kedarim? Whether it's an achila, the physical experiences, but I'm going to argue deeper than that. The evocative clues of Pa'ar are very, very powerful. Primed already by Chazal that he's linked to Balak Melech Ma'iv, the king who was behind this master. Right? Well, you notice that Sayyid is emerging from the king. Right? The prop in this Maya of Eglon, Ben Benay Shal Balak story is once again obscene, obscenity of Sayyid. And more than that, the Navi highlights that Ehud stabbed him in the stomach. Vayiska bevitna. Stabbing in the stomach. What does that unmistakably evoke and remind us of? The way Pinchas stabbed Cusby in the stomach, albeit one is a spear, one is a sword, albeit the term for stomach is different, Kuba in one case, Beth in another case, but I think when you put the pieces together, Saya, Bam Benaisal, Balak, stabbing, the correlations are very, very powerful. And what it is underscoring for us is this is the Kayach of Ma'iv in the world. Born from lust, B'nai's light, seared that way, formed that way, and they represent, each Uma represents a certain Kayach HaRam, the Briyas, the Gain Rites, right? The Shivan Umas are divided into two groups, 35-35, 35 under the Kayach HaRav Esav, 35 under the Kayach HaRav Yishmael, right? We oppose each one to Nasa and Ishma. As we've discussed in the past, Mayav is one of those Kaychas HaRav in the world, one of those 70 Kaychas HaRav in the world. I think we are beginning to demystify or distill what their Kayach is. It's Pa'ar, as coming to life from this entire head. It's the adulteration of Achila Lera, of Gashmius Lera. How Taine can become something very, very obscene. And it's a very, very relevant issue because, I'll bring it up from this perspective. I was once discussing something related in Yanim, and someone in the crowd asked me, he said, are you really preaching like Kedusha and Yanni Gashmi? He's like, that doesn't talk to people today. And I said, I'll ask you a question. I'm not talking about saying L'shem Yehudim over food. I'm not talking about high Pachlan Zach. And I want to ask you a question, he said. How do you feel when you feel you were a glutton? Do you feel good about yourself? Forgive me for saying it in the vernacular. When you feel it was a picking out experience, whether in eating or whether in other physical pleasures. And alachas kama v'kama in relational and young, with all the potential to forge something beautiful and elevated. How do you feel about yourself? Horrible, right? Horrible. The kind of listener in the piece which I'm building on, he speaks about the speed which a person eats, the rafsanas. It's not a question of how much a person eats and how much they enjoy. Right, the shleisha shachu the eish b'neim devri tayra, the aim b'neim devri tayra. Reb Chaim V'Lashner does say goes beyond the shtickel tayra, goes to the derech that you're eating. You're eating with more presence, more patience, which actually means you're thinking about the food more. Right? We live in an age where spiritually seeking people are much more focused on mindfulness and presence, and you should do everything mitach presence. Certainly, relationships should be mitach presence. Your spouse is speaking to you, your children are speaking to you, friends are speaking to you, you're present, listening, active listening, mindful. But even physical experiences and pleasure, there's an avoda to eat with presence and enjoy the food. You're only going to bench and really be margish in an experiential way, the Rebbe Shem loves you and takes care of you, if you actually were present during the eating process and you enjoyed and you felt sustained and you had tainuk, right? If you were either unpresent, whether eating quickly, I'm going to even suggest, this might be a little provocative and sacrilege in some quarters, I'm going to suggest that the same person who has a yeshiva bachar might have won Shav Shmais over lunch at a certain period of his life, when he becomes a mature adult, might be thinking less in a sugya while he eats and more thinking about eating, which is a mature avaita, enjoying it with presence of mind, which is a sophisticated avaita. A young person, I don't think, could do that. The notion of living life, living something simple in life deeply, takes maturity, right? But I know people, the same people, who, when they were young, they were holding a rashba for lunch. And when they're old, they're like, I'm going to be learning rashba later. I want to do everything with tech presence, including feeling sustained. I'm only going to have a relationship with there's also a feeling came in my life. I'm eating with feeling sustained. I'm not saying this is the avodah of everyone. Okay, there are other Abraham Kanievskis who didn't know what they were eating. There's not one depth, okay? And sometimes someone who achieves godless in a given arena, it comes with a certain tunnel focus. This is what he's doing and nothing else. But I'm talking about in terms of for Derech Kol Ha'olam, I find this to be a very relevant and applicable way to deal with every tainuk, achila, isha, so there it's even more complex, human relationship views with Gashmias, and when Reb Chaim Volozhiner teaches now the Mishnah, Shleisha Sha'achu V'yesh B'nei Tiberi Taira, I'm going to suggest, again, it's not simply the shtickle tire. There's learning with the eating. Because you could have people who eat in a very grubby way, and they're learning also. There's not fusion, right? Have you ever had that? People to be highly sophisticated, let's say, in learning, but it's detached from the achil or other matters in front. That's a disjointed look, right? Well, behind the Lashon's understanding, it's not simply learning at the table. It's being mila the eating experience. And a kind of lesson said, you don't eat tough raps and listen to them. The eating is a different type of eating. It's more elevated eating. Right? You're eating with mindfulness, you're eating with presence, you're eating with, right? I'm going to suggest if it's fused to the achila, you're not becoming absorbed in the rash, but not thinking about the food, as I'm saying, but rather there's a symbiosis of sorts here. You're eating, whether formally the Dvar Torah is said, right, you know, at a stopping point in the meal, or however it's playing out, but somehow it permeates the experience. And I'm going to also suggest, in conclusion, the yesh b'neihem to bring Torah. Yesh b'neihem. It's between them. Right? It's bringing them together. Food is a social lubricant, ki yadua. We bond over a dinner table. Right? A dining table is not a place where we do the act of eating. It's a place where we experience family, where we experience each other through the eating process. Right? Chazal are acutely aware of this, and when they aser pasach and bishlach, and they understand that with gayim there could be adverse bonding which happens, right? But with tayim, me the tayim meruba, savory connections happen over meals. Well, the shloisha shalach of the yesh beinehem to retire. Again, there's no ex fas yeser, there's no extra phrase in Chazal. The yesh, they could have said shloisha of the yesh beinehem to retire. There's a conversation, there's a dialogue, no one's hacking, the same way no one's hacking the food, no one's hacking the conversation, there's a bringing together, there's a relating to people, it's a type of Torah that's going to bring people together. We all know there are types of Torah that's going to bring everyone into the conversation, types of Torah which are going to be less inviting depending on who the audience, who's present, and who's so, right? Right? You know, whether there's makom in a beis medrash at times from Ochamta Shel Torah, for some combativeness, I'm going to suggest that's not the avoda in a dining room setting, certainly not a family setting, in a shleisha sha'achu setting, where b'neihem is part of the focus, because the symbiosis of the gashmis and the ruchnius over the meal, which is a social lubricant, is a tighter lubricant all. So this is how we utilize the inverse, and we've discussed in the past, in kamakam laharach, how rus from life, right? Who Chazal say was actually the descendant of Eglon and Balak. Rus, and we learned Rus on Shavuos. We've discussed in the past how she represents some of Shavuos' Avodah of being Mai Lagash, the Spanteris Kulam, Maida de Be'ina Macha. She's Masak in the whole Indian of feminine initiation and relationship when she creeps up on Bayez and that Dabar Gashmi. She represents Hela Kaid and Achila, as we see in the Gemara and Brachas. Rus is a lashon of satiation, divine satiation. Shevivula Kadosh Baruch Hu. The word Rav means to say. The point is that the Mida of Mayiv, which is deep engagement with Taifa, right? Herein lies the to be or not to be question of Yahagas. Deep engagement with Gashmi is Mesukkim, and the Rus is steering Mayiv in a positive direction. The Shlai Shuffle of the Yesh B'nai Divrei Torah versus the obscenity of Pa'ar, and again, I'm reiterating, Kikar Ve'lacha, Dachmo, B'fifo, V'alcha, so this is an idea which could really change the way we engage in the eating process, relational eating, presence of mind in eating. Anytime you are walking away feeling elevated by an experience of extreme physicality, it's a very, very haliga thing that Halila, if we walk away feeling lowly, gluttonous, and so on. And may we all be zeichet to achieve this. Par is no longer some sort of obscene ancient practice, but actually talks to the essence of the human spirit and an avodah which we deal with day in, day out. May we all be zeichet in this avodah of taiva l'kedusha. Amen. Kein yehi ratzon.